We're going to continue our talk again today, discussing the armor of God, and we will focus on verse 18 in chapter 6, but I will read verses 13 to 18 just to give us context on the background there. And first, I will open us up in prayer here. Father, once more, we are privileged, Father, and thankful that we are gathered together in your holy and glorious name as a church, Father, who is united in Christ. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. I ask, Father God, this morning that you will give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Father God. Help us to hear your word and to apply it richly into our lives and to go out, Father God, and just do our duty, Father. We want to give you all the praise in Jesus' holy and glorious name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 18. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. So first Paul, and again, I'm focusing on verse 18 here. And first Paul, he described the pieces of the armor of God, that everything that we should put on that belongs to God and that he has given us to us. And we are privileged to be able to put on the armor of God. But here's a point. If Paul stopped there, if he got to, let's say, verse 17, and there he stopped and he said, you're ready to go, well, then we would be in trouble because we would know that, no, we're not ready to go. Because it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with the armor of God and we're putting on all these six pieces that we need to go fight the war. Paul says, first he describes the pieces of the armor of God. And he doesn't stop there, but he adds one critical component of the spiritual battle. He goes on, and after describing for us to put on the full armor of God, he leads with this, pray always. Put it on and pray always. So that right there constitutes a very important ingredient to spiritual warfare. We must pray always. So putting on the armor is one thing, but we don't stop there, Paul says. We must pray always. So though prayer is not divine armor, because it's not divine armor, but it is essential to winning spiritual warfare. If we want to win the battle, we need to pray. We need to pray. Why? Because prayer links us directly to the power of God. It links us directly to God. So this we know, communication in every battle, even in the natural realm, where when countries go to battle, they know this, that communication is imperative. If you want to win the war, you better have good communications. It's the same thing for the Christian soldier. If you want to go to war and you want to fight against spiritual enemies, you better have good communication with God. You need to pray. You must pray. God has given us the divine armor, everything we need. Now, Christian soldiers, do your part. Pray. Pray always. The Holy Spirit has helped you with the divine armor. The Holy Spirit will help you with prayer, but you need to do your part too. You need to pray. Paul says, pray always. Pray always. So here's the question this morning is, what prominence does prayer hold in your life? How prominent is prayer really in your life? Is it crucial? Is it essential? Is it important? Is it significant in your life or is it not? Because to Paul, it doesn't matter that you get all the divine armor on. If you're not praying, all that's for naught. It's for naught. What is the character of your prayer life? Does your prayer life have anything in it? Any power, any strength, anything of God? How important is your prayer life? Because to Paul, he says all this other stuff, all this other armor, it's good. It makes you complete. But without prayer, you're not going to stand. You're not going to withstand. You're not going to resist unless you're praying. Unless you're praying always. So it's a necessary question to ask. It's very necessary to ask the question, what prominence does prayer have in your life? Why? Because even Jesus said that. He said, if you don't pray, you will lose heart. He said, every man ought to pray or he will lose heart. So is it important? Yes. Jesus said it's important. Moses, who had intimacy with God, he met God face to face. An intimacy that not very many people had. Met God face to face. And yet Moses, when you read his life, he found it important all the time to pray. He always interceded for who? For the Hebrew children. Even though he had face-to-face meetings with God, still he bowed down on the ground and he still interceded for his people. He prayed. Jesus, who was the God-man, prayed. He submitted to prayer to the Holy Spirit and he prayed. So if Christ gives us the example to pray, so should we. His brothers and sisters, we should pray. Very important. So Paul, here, he's directing us to pray. When do you pray? When you're complete. When are you complete? When you put on all the armor. You've put on all the armor. Every vestige of that of the armor of God, you put everything on. Now Paul says, you are complete. As far as your attire goes, as far as your combat dress goes, but now Paul says, now that you're complete, pray. Finish the duty. Finish the rest. Pray. He started with these passages. He started with a passage in verse 10 where it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. It all began right there, didn't it? It began right there. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God. Are you a soldier who is complete in Christ? Are you complete as Christ? Have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you complete? Because Paul says, only once you're complete and you know you're complete, well then pray always. But if you're not complete, odds are you're not going to pray either. But if you are complete, that should lead you to pray. And to pray always, Paul says, to pray always. Enter the battle. If you're complete in Christ, there it is. Enter the battle. Enter the battlefield. Go in there now and fight the good fight. Go pray. Pray always, without ceasing. Pray, Paul says. We are strong in the Lord. We have taken up the whole armor of God. Now, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we must finish the picture. And the finished picture is this. Go in and fight the good spiritual fight. Enter the struggle. Enter the war. Because that's the rest of the picture there. The first part of the picture is, you dress up and your combat attire and you get prepared. That is the first part of the picture. But here, Paul finishes the picture. He says, now go pray. Pray always. That right there completes the picture. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put on the divine panoply of God. And then you go pray. You go pray. So I go to Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So earlier, we dressed up for the battle. Now, Paul says, march into the battle, to the forward edge of the battle area. At least when I was in the military, we had this word. Every time we trained for warfare, we had this word. It was called the FEBA, F-E-B-A. What does that mean? Forward edge of the battle area. We always train that we are going to go into the FEBA, into the forward edge of the battle area. What's so significant about that? Because that is where the thickest, the fiercest part of the battle took place. It was the hot zone. That is where we were trained to go. You go into the FEBA, nothing else. And you kind of get this idea. Every time I read the passage here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, where it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. I always get this idea in my mind. And I go back to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Can you go there? Verses 14 and 15. And here is David. And we know David committed adultery with Bathsheba. But now he needs to get rid of Bathsheba's husband. And this is what David does. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah the Hittite. And he wrote the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. What is Paul saying? This is what it says. So in the morning, David decided to send Uriah to Hittite, and Uriah, for all intents and purposes, he was carrying the letter that was going to kill him. David wrote a letter that Uriah, this memo right here, is going to kill you in battle, but don't open it. Just take it to the general Joab. Let him read it. So he goes, he gives it to Joab, and the letter says, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him that he may be struck down and die. To the hottest part of the battle. That is what we call the FIBA. Even David understood that. Send Uriah to the forward edge of the battle area where there it's the fiercest fighting taking place. No doubt, Uriah the Hittite, he's going to get killed right then and there. He's going to die. Many valiant men went to the forward edge and they died there because it was the hottest part of the battle. The hottest part of the battle. You put on the divine panoply of God, the divine armor. Where do you think you're going when God said, when Paul says, pray always? You're going to the forward edge of the battle area, to the fiercest part. Well, you will encounter what? You will encounter pushback from Satan, from demons, from authorities, from all these principalities and powers, from powers of divine wickedness in the heavenly places. That's where you're going, Paul. You're going to go pray. That's where you intend to go. You're not going someplace where it's going to be nice and cushy and comfortable and everything's going to be okay and you're going to pray for peace and for comfort and for luxury. No, 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 no. That's not where you're going. Paul says you're going to the FIBA. You're going to go pray at the forward edge of the battle area where the fiercest part of the battle is taking place. Husbands, wives, sons, daughters, moms, dads, friends, co-workers, all dying every single day, and some go to hell. Not all make it to heaven, but we go there to do what? To fight the good fight. In the fiercest part of the battle, we go there to pray them, to intercede for them, that they might be saved. Is Paul saying, he's not saying, go in there and intermittently pray once in a while. No, 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 it's not what Paul's saying. It's pray always. Go in there and pray. Pray. Pray hard. Don't pray for comfort. No, there's nothing comfortable in warfare. Nothing comfortable. We don't become Christians because we think life is going to be so comfortable now that we're Christians. No, we become Christians and we should know that life is going to become more difficult for us. Why? Because we've got an adversary now. We've got enemies. They're not going to make life easy for us. No. If he can do anything, they'll rob us of our faith. Rob us of our faith. Neutralize us so that we do nothing. We put on the full armor of God and we're happy right then and there. We pray? No, we don't pray. Pray once in a while. But at least I put on the full armor of God. Well, that's sufficient for the devil. Yes, by all means. Put on all the divine armor and stay there and do absolutely nothing. Don't pray. Maybe once in a while, pray. 3 minutes, about 5 minutes, pray. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. No, no, no. He's saying pray always. Nobody wants to pray. Who has the ministry of prayer? Everybody wants ministries in church, but the ministry of prayer, no, I don't want that one. No one's going to show up for that ministry. Well, that's a difficult ministry. One pastor, many years ago, 100 years ago, when people were talking about, we need this ministry and this ministry and this ministry and this ministry, everybody wanted ministries. But then he said, without prayer, those ministries are for naught. They mean absolutely nothing. Unless there is a ministry of prayer and someone's willing to pray. Otherwise, what's the point of all these ministries? God doesn't work in the church through ministries. God works in the church through men and women who pray. That is how God works in the church, through prayer warriors, not to people who have just dressed up, but they don't pray. No, no. We don't pray because we want things done in heaven. We pray because we want God doing things here on earth. We pray so that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray. But we must pray, Paul says. You need to pray. What is the quality of your prayer? Because I go back to the first question I asked. What prominence does prayer hold in your life? Do you pray every single day? Do you pray every single day? It's necessary. The more theology you have, the more that theology, that knowledge of God, the more that knowledge should drive you to God. To do what? To pray. The more you know him, the more you should want to pray. This is what Martin Lloyd-Jones, a preacher from England, said, he said this. He says, if all my knowledge of God, if it does not lead me to prayer, all this knowledge I have, if it doesn't lead me to prayer, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong in my Christian life. If I know so many things about God, so much knowledge, so many doctrines, so much theology, I know so many things about God, and still I don't pray. He said, there's something wrong with your life, Christian. There's something wrong with your life. You know so much, but you pray so little. Something's wrong. Prayer. So the Christian soldier, unlike Uriah the Hittite, he entered the battle and he died. But we enter the fiercest part of the battle, not with the intent that we're going to die. No, no, no. We enter the fiercest part of the battle, knowing that we're going to have success in Christ. Not that we will die, but that we will succeed, that we will be valiant in Him. In Him, we will win. In Him, we will be victorious. Valiant prayer, a mind set on God, and a mind set on God will bring you victory. A mind set on God through prayer, through communication, every single day. Praying always, always. So we can possess, yes, we can possess spiritual armor. We can have it on, yes. We can be spiritually mature, know so many things. We can even know much about spiritual warfare. We can know all that stuff. But without prayer, we're going to be defeated. We're not going to stand. We're not going to withstand. We're not going to resist. We're not. We may look good for the battle, but when the pressure comes, when we get sent to the FIBA, we're going to fall. Why? Because we're not praying. We're not praying. So the armor of God, yes, it's essential. The armor of God is essential for the Christian soldier. But we should make no mistake. No mistake. The armor alone does not give the Christian his victory. No. Mm-mm. It's holy armor. It's holy armor with what? With holy prayer. Holy armor with holy prayer that reveals the character and the quality of the Christian. There it is. Not only Christian armor, or rather holy armor, but holy armor coupled, linked, joined with holy prayer. There, that right there gives the Christian soldier his character and his quality. A man or a woman that is totally complete and ready, praying always. That is where the Christian soldier goes into the forward edge of the battle area, and that Christian soldier becomes the prayer warrior. A prayer warrior who has put everything on, put on the complete armor of God, and now the prayer warrior gets to the business of praying. Praying valiantly, believing in his prayers or her prayers. But that Christian soldier only becomes a Christian or a prayer warrior when he or she gets into the business of praying. Of praying. Are we praying? So here Paul injects this idea that if we're going to be going into the thickest and the fiercest part of conflict, in the very front lines, he says, to fight the good fight, we need to be complete in Christ, having put on the full armor, and we need to be praying always. That right there. He says, now you are complete. You are complete. In Ephesians, when you read Ephesians chapter 18, or rather chapter 6, verses 18 to 20, because those verses right there, those verses, that's where we see the aggressive, the forceful nature of putting on the armor. Because before, when we read, we read verses 10 to 17, and they were all about preparing for combat. Get ready for the fight. Get ready to go out there to the forward edge of the battle area. That's what it was all about. But when you get to verse 18 and verse 19 and verse 20, that is where you see the aggressive nature of warfare. That is where you see, okay, now we're really getting into the battle. You're doing something now that before you weren't doing. You weren't praying before. You were just taking, laying hold, putting on. But now things get pretty dicey. Now it becomes a bit more heavy duty because you have to do the heavy lifting, prayer. Because no one wants to do the heavy lifting in prayer except the Christian soldier who's going to become a prayer warrior. That person will do the heavy lifting of prayer. and he or she is going to begin to pray. Paul says that right there, in praying, is where you see the aggressive nature of the Christian soldier. Violent prayer, some say. Violent prayer, fierce prayer, holy prayer. That is what that is. Prayer of the mature Christian. There is a, we see something of it because there's a component when you read verses 18 and 17, and 17 where it says, you take the salvation, take the helmet, the salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That part right there where it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because you see a connection there. You see a connection, a connection with the Spirit, with the Word of God, and with prayer. Those three things go together. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and prayer. They go together. You need the three. You can't separate them. They must go together. We know that. Paul has been trying to ingrain that into our heart, into our minds and hearts, that they just go together. And we kind of see an idea of this. Can you go to, I'm going to read something from Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 13. And here's Moses. Moses is going to war against the Amalekites. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Well, here's my point, because you see on the hill, Moses praying with his hands lifted up. But you see in the valley, Joshua holding the sword and fighting the war with the sword. So you kind of get this idea that even in prayer, there's prayer, bro. You need to pray. You need to pray. And at the same time, you need the sword of the Spirit. Moses prayed, but that prayer would have been, it would have amounted to nothing had Joshua not been in the valley fighting with the sword. He needed the sword. And Joshua, he would have gotten nowhere fighting with a sword had Moses not been up in the hill praying with his hands uplifted. But this is a part, when I read verse 17 and 18, where it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition. Because you need both. Pray and use the sword. You do both. You can't pray without the sword. You can't fight in prayer if you have no sword. Is it important for us to take as much of the Rhema of God, as much of the word of God? Is it important for us to take as much of this as we can and take it into us? Absolutely. Absolutely. How can we go to pray if we have a sword that is dull, when we have not much knowledge of God in our heads? It's important that we take from the living water. Take from the living water as much cups as we can take. This Bible represents the living water, which is Jesus Christ. Take. Take the living water. You take living water as much as you can. Why? Because the fight is hard. Take of the living water. Take and build up your sword and pray. But you see here in the life of Moses, even in Joshua, oh, one prayed, one used a sword. But that's what prayer is all about. You engage in prayer, but you need to know something about the sword, about the word of God. You can't leave that out of the battlefield. No, you bring the sword into the battlefield. You bring the sword into your prayer. You need to know something about the Bible, about theology. And that's why Martin Lloyd-Jones, this English preacher, said, how can you know so many things about God? You know the logos, the whole word, and you know the rhema, you know these words, you know so much theology, so much doctrine, and still you don't pray. How can that be? That doesn't even make sense. To him, it didn't. It didn't make sense how a Christian should know so much and yet pray so little. But it's important. It's important to understand if we're going to pray, we should know something about the Word of God. Don't go into the battlefield knowing nothing about the Word of God. Or go in there knowing as much as you can about the Word of God. It is the Word of God and knowing God that ushers you into the battlefield. This is what Jesus said in the high priestly prayer. Remember Jesus' high priestly prayer? He said this. He said, it was in chapter 17, verse 3. Can you go there, please? This is what Jesus says. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's what he said. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowledge. Knowledge. It's exactly what the pastor was talking about. This is eternal life, that you know God, as much about God as you possibly can. And not only about God, he says, but about Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That, he says, is eternal life. Eternal life is all about knowing God, and very, very much about knowing God. And how can you know so many things about God and not pray? Because that is eternal life, to know God, as much about God as possible, and to know Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Know as much as possible. And that, all that knowledge, should drive us to our knees. It should drive us to prayer, knowing all those things about God. You know, when you look at passage in Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 18, when we go to that passage right there, some have said this about prayer. He said, some say that most Christians, maybe most of us, maybe most of us here, it says, most of us pray sometimes, using some prayers, with some degree of perseverance for some of God's people. It says some. Sometimes we pray with some kind of prayers, with some determination, and for some of God's people. But when you read what Paul writes in verse 18, he takes away the some. It's no longer sometimes we pray with some prayers, with some degree of perseverance for some of God's people. No, no, no. Paul injects alls, four alls, into his prayer. Praying always, always. Pray all the time. Pray all the times. Not pray sometimes. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying pray all the time. Pray all the time. Not sometimes. And he says, not with some prayers. No, he says, pray with all prayers and all supplications. All the time, with all prayers and all supplications. And then he says this, not with some perseverance, with some determination. No, he says, pray with all perseverance and all supplication. All perseverance, all supplication. Then he says, not for some of the saints. He says, for all of the saints. So Paul kind of gives us a new dimension of prayer here. A new dimension. It's not pray sometimes, using some prayers, using some degree of perseverance, and for some of God's people. No, he says, pray all the time. Pray using all prayers and supplications. Pray with all perseverance, and pray for all of God's people. A new dimension. It's not sometimes, it's all the time. All the time. Well, obviously we can't pray 24 hours a day. No, we're not going to do that. No one can do that. It's impossible for someone to just pray all day long. No. But we know this, that wherever we are, we're always in the presence of God. Whether I'm at home, at church, at work, in the market, wherever I am, I can pray when the need presents itself. Pray all the time. Pray all the time. With all prayer and petition, because he begins right there, he begins, pray always with all prayer and supplication. Or some Bible versions say with all prayer and petition. Pray. Here's a point. Because prayer is, it's difficult. Many of us don't want to pray because it's difficult to pray. Praying isn't easy. It's not meant to be an easy thing. It's meant to be difficult. When we look at prayer, we kind of look at the life of Jacob. Remember Jacob, when he spent 20 years, I believe, 20 years with Laban. He was 20 years working for Laban because he wanted to marry one of the daughters of Laban. For 20 years, he worked almost as a slave under Laban. Finally, after 20 years, he makes his way out of the country and he goes back. So now he leaves one problem behind Laban, but he looks forward and he says, oh, now there's another problem I got to engage with now, my brother Esau. So in the back, he's got one problem, Laban, now forward where he's headed, he's got another problem. He's got another problem, and that would be Esau, trying to reconcile himself back to Esau. One problem behind him, one problem ahead of him. And he comes to the river Jabbok. Remember that? He comes to the river Jabbok thinking, okay, this, I'm going to be alone here, thinking at least here he can get some rest and some recuperation to prepare for his meeting with Esau. But no, that night turned out to be even more difficult than the night than all the times he experienced with Laban. And what is he's going to experience with Esau? He's going to wrestle with an angel all night long. All night long, he's going to wrestle with an angel. And he did wrestle with an angel of God. And when he wrestled, we have this understanding that he used his entire might. He wasn't playing around. Jacob wanted to win. He engaged his whole body. His heart, his mind was engaged in this wrestling match. His head, his arms, his shoulder, his waist, his legs, thighs, calves, feet, everything was engaged in this fight because he wanted to win. And at the end, he wouldn't let go of the angel unless the angel would bless him. But that is the issue with prayer, because when we come to prayer, we know this, that we have to engage our entire faculties. Mind, heart, body, everything is engaged in prayer. That's why we have so few prayer warriors, because not very many want to engage in the war of prayer. Few prayer warriors. Many Christian soldiers, only a few of those Christian soldiers become prayer warriors. Everybody wants to be a Christian soldier. Be ready for the fight. Look good. Have a good image. Oh, look at that person. He's strong in the Lord. He's really strong in faith. Oh, but it's the prayer warrior that no one recognizes that sits maybe in the pews and prays hour or two or three. That right there is the Christian soldier who is doing what Paul just said. Pray always. It's not easy to pray. It is not, and we shouldn't think it's easy. It's the most difficult thing that Christians need to do. That's why so few do it. Pray. Take the time to pray. To pray. So Paul says, with all prayer and petition, pray. All prayers, all petitions. With confessions, with praise, with thanksgiving, with supplication, with intercession, pray. Pray always. Prayers, he said, prayers. What prayers? Pray out loud. Pray quietly. Pray silently. Pray in private. Pray in public. Pray with the family. Pray socially. Pray when assembled. At all times, Paul says, pray. Many kinds of prayers, but pray. Be praying. There are many types. That's what Paul's implying. He says, pray always with all prayer and supplication. With all prayers and supplications. He's saying those things. Pray always. Can you go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? Here, Paul talking to the Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Even includes with thanksgiving. Many kinds of prayers, Paul says. Learn them, know what they are, and use them all. Use them all. Many occasions, many kinds of prayers, Paul says, but use them all. Don't limit yourself to one kind. No, Paul says, use them all. They're there. They're in the scriptures. Confessions, thanksgiving, supplication, all those things, entreaties, they're all in the Bible. Paul says, use them all. Can you go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1? Again, talking to Timothy. I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That is all prayers right there. He's talking about all kinds of prayers in Ephesians. Supplications, petitions, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Be made for who? For some men. May all these prayers be made for some men and some women only. No, that's not what Paul says. That they be made for all men and all women. For all brothers and all sisters. Let them be made. Let them be made. James chapter 5, verse 16, please. And here it says, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries. That's James chapter 5, verse 16, please. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Effective, fervent, hot, passionate, determined prayers avail much. There are many things, because when you take a look, many things that won't give you the victory. Being dressed with the full armor of God may not give you the victory, but we know this, with prayer, prayer can give you the victory that nothing else can give you. Prayer. You want victory? Pray. How much do you want the victory? Fervently? Passionately? Determinedly? How much do you want the victory? It's not easy. Praying's not easy. It was never meant to be easy. Not at all. And Paul goes on and he says, pray at all times. Pray at all times. For he says, with all prayer and petition. And we kind of understand that now, hopefully, that many kinds of prayers, private, public, corporately, when assembled, all those prayers, confessions, thanksgivings, supplications, petitions. Paul says many prayers, not just some prayers, but he said, use all the prayers that are here in the Bible. Use them all. But then he says, pray all the time. Pray at all times. So what does this mean? It's kind of prayer that's, it's meant to be regular and constant, not intermittently, sometimes. No, Paul says, make this a habit. Prayer should be a habit. It should be a habit, something you do regularly and constantly. It's just part of your dynamic as a Christian. I am a Christian, therefore I pray. Why do I pray? Because I know God. Because I know Him, I am in communion with God. I will pray. I need God. If I want victory today, I must be in communion with God. I must talk with Him. You must. He says, pray all the time, in season and out of season, whether you like it or whether you don't, whether you feel like it or whether you don't feel like it. Pray. In season, out of season, you pray. Just pray. In the late hours at night or in the early mornings, pray. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. Pray. Pray. He says, pray all the times. When you're assembled or when you're not assembled, when you're alone or when you're with other Christians, pray. Pray. Pray on all occasions. In every turn of the battle, pray. In each emergency of life, pray. In every situation that arises, pray. Every difficulty, pray. Pray, says Spirit, pray all the time. Always know that you are in the presence of God. Therefore, pray. There's never a time when we should come to prayer and say, God, now that I am in your presence, no, wrong. You should know that if you're a Christian, you're always in the presence of God. You never have to come to God and tell Him, Lord, I'm in your presence now. No, you're always in God's presence. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's always with you. He's Emmanuel, God with us, when here, there, everywhere. God is always with us. I'm always in His presence. Therefore, I can always pray because He's always there. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, always there, always there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he reminds us too, you pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Wherever you're at, the moment arises, pray. The evil time arises, pray. Those temptations come, pray. Always be in prayer, prayer. Be ready to pray. And then he goes on and he adds, in the Spirit. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Prayer must be accomplished, what? In the power of the Holy Spirit. We said that earlier, isn't it? Prayer, the sword, the Holy Spirit, oh, they go together. We can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit. If I want to pray, I better understand that He is with me. He is with me and He is in me. And He will enable me, empower me to pray. He will do that. Can you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27? Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or Himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So it is the Holy Spirit that enables me to pray rightfully, not for silliness, not for silly things or selfish things, but he redirects my prayers and he helps me to pray rightly to God, that I will stay in the will of God and not in the will of man. But he trains me, he teaches me, he helps me, he enables me to pray. Without him, I'm not very good with the word of God. Without him, I'm not very good at prayer either. I need him to help me with the word. I need him to help me in my prayer life. I always need him. Always. In the spirit. So Paul is not directing us to pray in the heart and to pray to get empowered. No. He's telling us that you should know that you are under the influence of the Spirit and that he will direct your prayers. You need him. You absolutely need him. Pray in the Spirit, in him. Christ in me, he in me. Pray in the Spirit. We're in the Spirit. Pray, Paul says, in the Spirit. Always know that he will direct you. He will direct your heart, your mind, everything about you. He will direct it. He will make sure that your prayers are always in the will of God. Remember in the Old Testament, you go back to the Old Testament, because when you go to the Old Testament, you read about the tabernacle of God. And there in the Old Testament, it's, if you want to go back later and read it, because we're short on time here, but in Exodus, we get this picture of the tabernacle and all the accoutrements that go inside the tabernacle. And one was the picture of the incense. And the incense represented the prayers of the saints going up. It represented the prayers going up. But the incense, it all had to be mixed according to God's plan. Everything had to be made according to God's plan. You can't have nothing in there that's counterfeit or fake. No, everything had to be according to God's plan. And there was fire, the fire on the altar. The fire on the altar represented the Holy Spirit. It was him, through the fire, who made the incense arise to God. The Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. My prayers, if they're going anywhere, it needs to be the fire of the Holy Spirit. It needs to be him himself who takes my prayers and he directs them to the throne of God. He takes them there. And Christ, I know this, that he is my intercessor, that he prays for me, because I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that in heaven, I have an intercessor for me. It is Christ, and I'm able to pray, and the Holy Spirit takes all my prayers, and he elevates them to the throne of God. Why? Because I have an intercessor in Jesus. He prays for me, and he is my Lord, he is my Redeemer, and it's only because of what Christ did for me on the cross that I can even do this. I need to pray in the name of Christ, in the name of his authority, that those prayers will ascend to the power of the Holy Spirit. I need Christ. I need his intercessions. I need the Holy Spirit. I need his power. I can't leave anyone out. I can't leave anyone out of the Trinity when I'm praying. I should know that this right here is work. It is a holy work. It is fierce. Let me see. That's why Paul calls it. This is battle. This is spiritual battle. This is a serious battle. Every time Moses prayed, Moses didn't pray. He took prayer seriously. It was exceedingly serious because he knows it was a matter of life and death for the Hebrew children. When Jesus prayed, he never prayed sham prayers, bogus prayers, fake prayers. No, they were always serious prayers because prayer was serious business to them. Prayer should be serious business to us too. It should be something that we do. It's tough. It's hard. It's difficult. The flesh doesn't want to do it. The world won't let you do it. The devil will do everything he can to stop you. If he can influence you, entice you, seduce you, point your heart, your mind to the world to do other things, he'll do that. And then you'll never pray. Well, I'll pray later in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Before you know it, the day's gone and you never prayed. You never prayed. Your mind was preoccupied with so many things. Like Martha, so busy. But Mary, she took the better choice and she spent time with Christ. Are you picking the best like Mary did? And are you spending time with Christ in prayer? Are you spending time with Christ in prayer? So we know this. If we've learned anything about the Holy Spirit, is this. We know that we always need him. We kind of learned this in Galatians, and we learned this in Ephesians. This is what we know with the Holy Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. We stay in step with the Holy Spirit. We are filled by the Spirit. We are strengthened by the Spirit. We are kept by the Spirit. We submit to the Spirit. We use the sword of the Spirit, and we pray in the Spirit. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. We need Him every moment of the day. So when He says, in the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit, you know that you have to, you must. Otherwise, you can't pray unless He's leading you and guiding you and walking with you. He's beside you. He's in you. He's empowering you because that's what He does. If there's no Spirit in you, odds are you're probably not going to pray either. If you're ignoring Him and spending no time with Him, you aren't going to pray. And even as I bring him to a closure now, it says Paul says, with all perseverance and supplication. With all perseverance and supplication. In other words, we exhibit watchfulness by prayer. We persevere in prayer. We don't become discouraged or disheartened. No, that's what happens when you don't pray. You become discouraged and disheartened, but you pray so that you won't become discouraged and disheartened. That's the whole point of prayer, so that you will have victory even when you don't see it. Believe God. That he will do what He said He would do. But we have to pray. Otherwise, Jesus said, you'll be discouraged if you don't pray. Pray with all perseverance, with determination. When you don't feel like it, you pray. You go, you seek a place in solitude or in the company of other Christians, but you pray with all perseverance, determination. We give constant attention to prayer. We must, we should. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to just end it maybe with the last part, which is for all the saints. For all the saints. See, when Jesus taught us how to pray, He used these words, our Father. So immediately when we hear those words, our Father, we know this, because He said our Father, we should know that we have brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. And Paul never said, you know, pray for some. Pray for some brothers and sisters, the ones you really like. Those, pray for those. No, no, no. Paul says, you pray for all your brothers and all your sisters. All of them. Why? Because they're just like you. We all have the same difficulties, the same trials, the same temptations. We have maybe the same illnesses. We have the same sufferings. We experience the same things in life. Paul says, pray for all of them. Short on grace, weak in faith, no power. You pray for all your brothers and sisters. Pray for all of them. Don't exclude some. No, no, include all, Paul says. Include them all. From the least of your brothers to the greatest of your brothers, you pray for them all. Pray for all of them. So praying isn't twisting God's arm. You're not twisting God's arm when you pray. Don't think that's what prayer is. No, no. Know that you pray, and God will do the rest. But you must pray if you devote yourself to prayer. Supplication, petitions. What is all that about? It's about asking, seeking, and knocking. Remember, that's what Jesus says. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask for what? With specificity. Don't be general about your prayers. No, ask God what you want. Ask Him. The Holy Spirit will drive your prayer, but you must ask with specificity. Knock, seek, do those things. Jesus says, He will respond if you do those things specifically, but we must do that. So here's the principle as I close it. Christian soldiers must treat prayer as something that is serious in our lives. Paul says, it is absolutely serious. If you're a Christian soldier and you're not praying, well, then maybe you're not a prayer warrior, but you're a Christian soldier. But you want to be both. You want to be a Christian soldier who happens to be a prayer warrior too. That completes the Christian. That is the principle here. Do both. Dress up and then pray. Do the two. They must go together. You can't leave any apart. Do them both together. So as we go, make sure that we understand we're in a war. And if we're going to win the war, we have to suit up properly. And once we suit up properly, we have to pray always. That is the commandment. That is what Paul is saying we must do. Amen? And let's do that as we get ready to go. Let me pray. Father, I just want to praise you and thank you for your holy and glorious word. And I pray that we will just understand, Father God, because there's so much to be said about prayer. And there's